We have arrived at the final segment of chapter 6 in St. John's Gospel. We have heard about the doctrine of transubstantiation, the dogma of the real presence. The people were hungry, Christ fed them. They wanted living bread, he has promised them his flesh and blood. And unless they eat his flesh and blood under the appearance of living bread, they shall not have everlasting life. This doctrine, our Lord knew, would be difficult for them to understand. But he didn't then go on to provide logical reasoning, but rather commanded that they accept what he was teaching them by virtue of his authority. After all, they have seen his divine power. Would they not submit to his divine presence? But many of the cynics and critics have now walked away. His so-called friends and acquaintances had departed. And their Lord turns to his beloved apostles. He knew them one by one and said to them, "Will you also walk away?" He asked the same question. Will you walk away? If we scan the church, we can think about the people that once filled the pew there on the left, or that couple that sat in front of us here on the right. Have they walked away? Simon Peter, Prince of the Apostles, leader of the apostolic band, in reply to that question, answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." How true that is. Where shall we go? Our Lord is commanding us to submit to his authority. What is submission? Well, the word submarine means sub under, marine, water. Submission is similar, sub under, mission. We yoke ourselves under the mission of or authority of Christ. We seek his will rather than our own. The verse reading is all about the same theme. Joshua asked his people, well, if we don't submit to the authority of God, to whom do we submit? Because we all submit to something or someone. And St. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, gives us this famous text on marriage, calling marriage a great mystery, because it's fashioned on Christ and his love for the church. He is the head, the church is the body, bride and groom. And he says, they must equally submit to my authority. But how they then interact will vary. And he calls husbands to surrender themselves, die to themselves for the sake of their brides. As Christ as head gave himself for his church, husbands do likewise. And then your wives, your brides, will obey you. How often this is misunderstood or misconstrued. But at the end of the day, we all must submit to Christ, be it in marriage, be it in our vocation. And submission liberates us from vice. I say that because in the 16th century, Louis of Granada, a Dominican theologian, wrote a marvelous book on this very topic, about self-love and sin. You see, when we walk away from the Lord, we just don't walk away from him. we walk into darkness. For Christ is the light. When we walk away from that light, we walk into our own shadow, the shadow of sin or darkness. And the old sins cast long shadows. And the shadows are, when they're put together as a whole, self-love. That's what Louis of Granada wrote in his book called The Sinner's Guide. Saint Teresa of Avila, mystic, extraordinary woman of the 16th century, reformer of the Carmelite order, claimed that that book by Louis of Granada had converted 1 million people. It's a tremendous book that's still in print. It says that all sin is self-love, an unwillingness to submit to God's authority. In thought, word or deed, by act or by omission, we walk from the Lord. And we walk into a vice. It says there's seven vices or seven capital sins. One's with regard to our own ego. Inflated opinion of ourselves called pride. Our desire for that. We all have a degree of that. Then there are the desires of the body or pleasures of the body. He says there's three: lust, gluttony, and laziness or sloth. And people fall into these vices and they're locked in. Lastly, there's the desire for things called avarice or greed. There's five of your capital sins or vices, which flourish in our modern society. The remaining two are called anger and envy, which are there and they protect the other vices. For example, when someone's being humiliated or some truth is being told about someone and their pride, they don't like it. Anger rises up in them. How dare that person say this? When you have an attachment to things and you think someone else has some better utensil or implement or computer, then you feel envy because your desire for greed is being offset. These vices, he says, we can only bring them down or isolate them and disconnect ourselves from them through practicing the opposing virtues. And he has a whole section on the virtues we need to break them down. But in doing so, we need to submit to God's authority, His grace in our life, which is a spiritual power, enables us to do that. One person who left a legacy in our Christian heritage, is claimed as a saint by all, was Augustine, 5th century bishop, great convert. His story of conversion is in the classic book which he wrote called The Confessions. In chapter 8 he talks about how he eventually submitted to God. Augustine struggled with the capital sins of lust and pride. He was gifted, brilliant, and he knew it. He just didn't want to give in to God. He wanted to do his thing in his way at his time. But his mother's prayers pursued him and eventually wore him down. And then when he realized that the pleasures of the body never really satisfied the soul, in fact, they left him empty and worthless, he realized only God's grace can conquer his desire for lust. In doing so, his heart was won over to God. And he gave us that marvelous line, "Our hearts are made for thee, O Lord, and they are restless till they rest in thee." May we, like Augustine, submit ourselves to Christ's authority in our life, so that that restlessness may never conquer or dismay us. Praise be Jesus Christ.